word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. So Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and drove to Tarshish to flee from the Lord. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, "In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From the depths of the grave, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You held me into the deep, into the very heart of the sea, and the torrent swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, 'I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple.' The engulfing waters threatened me, the deep surrounded me, secrets were wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath me bowed me in forever. But you brought my life up from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who seem to work with idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs, but I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord." And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to him the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very important city. A visit required 3 days. On the first day, Jonah started into the city. He proclaimed, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned. The Ninevites will need God. They will say the fast, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When God saw the gifts of what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion and did not bring upon them the destruction he had threatened. But Jonah was greatly displeased and became angry. He prayed to the Lord, "O Lord, is this not what I said when I was still at home? That is why I was so quick to flee to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity." For the word of the Lord.
Well, last week, we began our first series of the year, which is looking at God's call. Through the story of Samuel, we ask the question of how will you respond to God's call in your life? Samuel responded by saying, "Speak, your servant is listening." Everyone has a calling from God because God has made everyone with a purpose. And he calls everyone forth into that purpose. So every Christian has a calling from God. And no two people will have the exact same calling. God has a privilege and responsibility to take on ministry so that you can be a blessing to other people. And particularly to be a blessing to the people of God. So this week, we continue in looking at the call of God. The call of God, it's not always easy to determine. Not many of us have an experience like that of Samuel, where we hear an audible voice speaking to us so clearly. In my own personal walk with God, I struggle most in knowing I'm correctly discerning God's will and his call when I strongly favour one thing over another. If we aren't careful, we can trick ourselves. I believe that our own thoughts and wishes come from God. And on the other side of this, is that it's easy to ignore God's direction and call when we disagree with God. I really hope that last year stands as a testimony to this. We do things now because of COVID-19, and if it wasn't for that, we would never have put these things in place. We became open to whole new possibilities God was calling us into. I say this today because it's not easy for us as people to choose to do something we don't want to do, even if it is God who is asking it of us. I never wanted to be a minister. Last week, I shared how I felt called by God at the age of 11 to be a Christian speaker. And I was excited by this book. Now let me explain a little bit of background to this and why that is. I was never an intelligent kid. I particularly struggled with reading and writing in school. I was one of the few kids in my grade who would go to the specialist remedial reading classes all throughout my primary schooling years. And at maths, I worked hard. If I worked hard, I could pass. I was always one of the smallest kids at picking things up, whatever we were learning about. As a young child, in a moment of deep distress over my lack of intelligence, I remember crying in my bedroom and crying out to God and saying to him, if I could be smart in anything, and I thought about it. If I could be smart about anything, I told God I would choose to be smart about you. I read to God, since you're the most important thing in the world, then what would be more important than being smart about you? You see, this is why my call was so significant. For me, my call was so much more than just being called by God. If God called me to be a Christian speaker, then this meant that God had answered my prayer and was going to make me smart about Him. And notice the language I'm using. I'm using the language of me as a child. This is how I'm framing it. But there was one thing I did always get an A for in English, from the very first one I did to the very last. And guess what it was? Oral presentations and reports. I was always one of the best in my grade at doing oral presentations, right through. And I think this is probably another reason why I was so excited about being a Christian speaker, because it also showed how God was going to use, in line with my self-concept as a child, the one thing I was good at. Public speaking. Wanted to be a minister. In fact, I was set against it. I was pretty determined never to become a minister. I remember sometimes I'd share the story of my calling, and people would respond, oh, so you're going to become a minister? And I'd be like, no. Not all Christian speakers are ministers. And God hasn't called me to that. Now, in secret, I knew deep down that most Christian speakers or ministers or pastors. I just couldn't admit it to myself. I hadn't won that responsibility of being a minister. My call into ministry, therefore, was not quite as dramatic as my call to preaching and teaching. And it came along as a resignation. And God's call to be a speaker did also come with the call to be a minister. No matter how much I didn't want that to be the case, I came to understand that it was. Has God ever called you to do something you really didn't want to do? Or put another way, has God ever asked you to do something you didn't like or knew that you would find difficult? Jonah certainly did. Jonah was a prophet of God who was called by God to go to Nineveh, the capital of Assyria, the most powerful nation in the world at the time. and to give them a message from God that he would overturn them in 40 days. Jonah didn't have any problem in knowing the call of God. He had heard it clearly. He didn't have the problem of admitting it to himself. No, he was just unwilling to do it. I find it funny in Jonah 1:10. We read in the midst of the storm part of the story, which we didn't read today, but in the midst of the storm part, the sailors talking to Jonah and asking him, "What have you done?" And then we read in brackets in the NIV, they knew he was running away from the Lord because he had already told them so. Jonah really doesn't want to do it. It's not because he was afraid, like maybe Moses was, in order to confront Pharaoh. Rather, Jonah didn't want to do it because he hated the Assyrians. He did not want to give those Ninevites a chance to repent. Jonah wanted Assyria to be overturned, to be destroyed. And Jonah knew that God wouldn't be sending him to Nineveh with his message if there was no chance of them being able to change God's mind by repenting. So Jonah, being tasked with his assignments by God, heads down to the port at Joppa, hops on a boat, and sails in the other direction as far as possible, to the city of Tarshish, which we think was in Spain. That's a long way away from Israel. Pretty much the end of the earth if you're an Israelite, as far as you know. But a storm arises, and the sailors come to the conclusion that this storm is someone's fault. Someone must have made the gods angry. Turns out Jonah was the reason. So the sailors ask Jonah what they should do. And he instructs them that they should throw him overboard and it would become hard. Now at first they refuse. But as the situation got worse, they reluctantly threw Jonah overboard according to his instructions. Now, as we know, Jonah was swallowed by some kind of large fish or whale. And after Jonah prays from inside the fish, Jonah is vomited up on the land. And then he reluctantly goes to Nineveh and passes on the word which God had given him. Miraculously, they received the prophecy and responded by repenting and turning from their evil ways. And so seeing this response, God chooses not to destroy them. And from our view of history, not yet, anyway. Jonah continues to watch over Nineveh for a while, complaining to God how he spared them. He prayed to God, saying in Jonah 4:2, "I knew that you were a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity." Jonah never gives up his hatred of the Assyrians. And as far as we know, he remains unhappy that God spared him. Even after God counsels him, explains that he cares for all people and animals. Jonah seems a little strange. It's about a prophet who knows God's good character, but because of his hatred of a city and a nation, refuses to speak to them on God's behalf. Because he knows that if they listen, God will relent from sending calamity. But in the midst of running away from God, he becomes the direct recipient of God's amazing graciousness when he is saved from drowning. God miraculously provides the fish, and while in the belly of the fish he prays, thanking God for saving him. Jonah 2, verses 7 to 10, we read these verses. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you. I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. But I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord. And so with these beautiful words, Jonah agrees to deliver the word of God, albeit reluctantly. He doesn't go because he wants to. He goes because of the one, the Lord God, who is gracious and saves, asked him to do it. And maybe that's the point of Jonah, or one of the points of Jonah. Jonah never agrees with God about saving Nineveh. But he does it because it is God who calls him to do it. And he will respond faithfully to the call of God for the only reason that it is Yahweh, the gracious living God of Israel, who asks him. Will you respond to the call of God when it's not what you want? Not because God changes your mind to see things his way, but simply because of the one who is asking you to do it. How have you responded when God has asked you to do something uncomfortable or difficult? How would you respond if today God called you to do something you really didn't want to do? Dig deep into your heart. How are you resisting God? Because you don't want it to be true. Because you don't agree with God. Because it'll be too difficult. Because you just don't want to do it. Jonah tried to go in the opposite direction and go to the furthest place he could get to. For me, I just kind of ignored it. In the back of my mind, I knew that it was likely that I would have to become a minister. But I never admitted that to myself. So when Gary Hardingham said to me the words, "You're going to become a minister," I told him I was not going to become a minister. After all, I'd just become a teacher. Why would God want me to now become a minister after I just become a teacher? But it was 2 years after that that I finally resigned myself to the fact that I did feel called by God, calling me into ministry. And to not move in that direction would be to run away from God. And I wasn't keen on following Jonah's example of running away. I knew it would be futile anyway, even if I tried, just like Jonah, God would lead me back to it. So I became a minister. Only because of the one who was calling me to it. Not that I regret it now. And you know, Jonah isn't the only person in the Bible asked by God to do something he didn't want to do. I'm sure you can think of many examples in the Bible of God either asking or calling a person to do something they really didn't want to. Now, where is Abraham being asked to sacrifice his son Isaac? Moses being told to speak to Pharaoh to let God's people go? Or Jeremiah instructed to speak to a people who just won't listen to him? God doesn't always ask us to do the things we're good at, or the things we enjoy, or the things we think are good ideas, or the things we want to do. For Jonah, it was to go to an evil nation A nation who treated the people of other nations they defeated with horrible cruelty in order to give them the opportunity to repent. For them, it was to willingly take on the responsibility of looking after congregations. For you, it might be to forgive someone who has deeply hurt you. It might be to start a ministry they're not confident in. Or to try a new way of doing church or being with the church. It might be to give up something you enjoy doing. Or treating someone you don't like at church or at work or at school or in the community with a level of love and respect you don't think they deserve. In any case, if God calls you to do something you don't want to do, how will you respond? Are you willing to do something you really don't want to do? For the only reason, if there's no other reason other than it is God who is asking and calling you to do it. Amen.